Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Ho, ho, ho. It's me again, just in time for the holiday season. You like the hat? Yeah, I picked it up myself. Anyway, Merry, it's not politically correct to say anymore, Christmas. By the way, what'd you get? Did you make your list out yet? Huh? What are you getting? What are you expecting? Did you get your kids the great sought-after game gadget of the whole world? Is it the best in the world? Huh? Did you get them that yet? What's in the stocking? Are you done shopping? How many days are left? You know what? Did your whining little kids go kicking and screaming all the way to the lost North Pole and some little local strip mall yet? Did they do that? Sit on Santa's lap? They sit on Santa's lap yet? You get a $40 Polaroid of it? It's money well spent. Yeah, that'll be a coaster in no time. What about the Xmas cards? The Xmas cards, you send those out yet? I don't think you did, because I haven't. The Xmas cards are not out yet. What about the family photo? The family photo, you know, the one that everybody flips past just to get the cash? Send that one out yet? I don't think you did. Are the lights up? Is the tree up? Is your blood pressure up? You know what? Have you set up one of the 946 available nativity scenes yet? Because my personal favorite is the new one with the new action figure Jesus. Yeah, you just flip the lever in the back and it reaches up to the Magi for the gold. It grabs the gold. Very popular in the OC. Oh, don't say that. Not the OC. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. No. I'm not finished yet. Did you get that special gift for that special someone? Will they like you more now? Will you like them more if they get you what you want? Huh? Does it come with batteries? Does it come in pieces? Does it come with some assembly required? Did you watch? It's a Wonderful Life. One more time, and when the angel gets its wings, you cry, even though that's not how it works at all. Did you gain 10 pounds yet? Did you gain any insight? Did you gain anything at all? Am I even close? Am I even asking the right questions? Ooh, the right question. Excuse me, the right Christmas question. What is Christmas all about? Huh? Is it real, or is it just this real make-believe fantasy Santa Claus and get me what I want, snowy winter wonderland that we've all made it to be? What is Christmas all about? Oh, better yet, who is Christmas all about? Now there is the life-changing, transformative question of all eternity. And the answer is really simple. It's really simple. You want to know what the answer is? I know you do. But unfortunately, I can't tell you because I'm expecting Santa Claus to come down the chimney any time. I even set up all the cookies for him. So we'll have to get to the real meaning of Christmas, you know, when I can get a rebate for it. So for now, happy holidays.
The Christmas rant. Isn't that true?
Ho, ho, ho. It's me again. Just in time for the holiday season. You like the hat? Yeah, I picked it up myself.
So good we want to watch
anyway,
it twice.
Merry, it's not politically correct to say any more Christmas.
We're just working out a few bugs as we got on our screens. That's our story. We're sticking with that story. November, it's gone. December is upon us, and you better have that tree up if you don't have it, and the ornaments need to be on that tree, and I don't know if you got the lights up or not, and I'm sure that many of us have got most of our Christmas shopping done. How many of us got all of our Christmas shopping done? Okay, well, just me. Oh, there's a couple. I got my Christmas shopping done, although I only have to buy one gift, so that's kind of unfair, isn't it? Now, our friends to the south, they just celebrated Thanksgiving, and one of the major components is something that has leaked into our country. It is the phenomenon known as Black Friday. And if you don't know what Black Friday is, you've probably been living in a hole somewhere. But for those who don't, it's that season of pandemonium where keen shoppers look for extraordinary deeds. And if you missed Good Friday, you're in luck because tomorrow is Cyber Monday, which some bright person thought up. And if you, those of you who don't know what Cyber Monday is, it's Black Friday, but all you have to do is sit at home and use your phone or your tablet or your laptop or whatever way you can do it as far as that's concerned. See, things have changed. I remember Black Friday a number of years ago. I used to have to get up real early to be in line outside whatever department store that I was in and kind of sit in minus 20 degree weather so that I was the first one to be able to get that big screen TV or whatever it is, and then we kind of rushed in and almost killed each other, and if I was lucky enough to get that TV, I would haul it to the cashier and somehow stuff it in my car. Now, with Cyber Monday, all I have to do is sit back, and it comes freely delivered if it's over $35, and I can do it with my PJs and my fuzzy slippers still on. Isn't that wonderful? How times have changed. It is Christmas time. Yes, it is Christmas time. There is a poet, a songwriter who says, Santa Claus is coming and the kids are getting greedy. They know what's in the store because they've seen it on the TV. It used to be the day for the man who saved our necks. But now it's just for Santa Claus. They spell it with an X. It is Christmas time. Ready or not, here it comes. And the hunt for the perfect present is upon us. Or maybe better yet, the hunt for the perfect deal. Because really, that's all what it's about, isn't it? We kind of like to give that present to that individual, and they think that we spent $100 for it, but in fact, we actually spent $20. Because we got that perfect deal. We had that opportunity where we were able to do it. You see, opportunities abound at Christmas time. You'll either win or you will lose from it, but those opportunities are there. And as we talk this morning about the opportunity of Christmas, you need to be aware that Christmas is probably one of our greatest opportunities as a church. Don't you think? It's true. Every year, I try to include in my Christmas sermons a segment which I call People Are Crazy at Christmas. It is bona fide truth. It is documented. People just kind of go crazy at Christmas, don't you think? Some of the strangest things happen. People say, how do you get all these stories? It is not hard to get these stories, folks. They are all over the place. I came across a story this week talking about a store which is in Britain, which is called, the department store is called Tesco. And what they are doing is they have put online a new job, which is a Christmas light untangler. This is a 36-hour-a-week job where they stand at the untangler table, is what they have called it, and they untangle your Christmas lights and they check to see if they're well. A person who gets this job has to be able to untangle 10 feet of Christmas lights in 3 minutes. Now I'm saying to myself, if there's a job that has a hashtag, just shoot me now, that is the job. Could you imagine to have that job? But that's not as bad as the new phenomena that I have found out about, and perhaps you have one of these. I'm not too sure. I think we do have a PowerPoint picture of it. It is called, do we not have it? Oh, no. It is called the Upside Down Christmas Tree. That's right. The Upside Down Christmas Tree is all the rage, turning Christmas upside down. There is a company which is called Hemaker and Schlemmer, a retail company based in New York, and it is currently offering this feat called a seven-foot-tall tree, but it is upside down. It is pre-lit with over 800 commercial-grade lights. It's a technological marvel, and it can be yours, folks, for the low price of $599.95. Isn't that wonderful? The upside-down Christmas tree. And they say, why is this so good? Well, you know, when Christmas ornaments hang on lights, oftentimes they're obstructed by that pesky pine view. If you hang it upside down, you can see the ornaments and lights absolutely beautiful, not to mention the fact that everyone can see all the gifts that are under the tree. The upside-down Christmas tree. Folks, let me just tell you, people are crazy at Christmas. Would you agree? Excellent. When I had the picture, I took the picture from a Google Images, and after I had taken the picture and put it on the PowerPoint, I realized that the picture kind of had this little cart that had wine and alcohol on it. And I said, oh no, I didn't want to have that. Then I began to thought, if you have it in your mind to have a upside down Christmas tree, I'm sure that alcohol was probably involved in something like that. Here's the thing. Once we peel back all the sensationalism, the commercialism, the Hallmark pandemonium, one thing that Christmas does is it provides for us an opportunity. As a matter of fact, I believe that the God that we serve is a God that offers opportunities all the time. You ever see that scripture? Yeah, there it is. You see the large lawn of alcohol there as well? I was just wanting to say. My apologies for that anyways. Christmas is a time for opportunity. If you look in the scriptures, if you hear particularly Paul speak, and he's saying, can you pray for me? He says, can you pray somehow that a door is open? There's one particular spot in scriptures in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, pray for me. But he says this, can you pray? And it says this in the King James Version. I like the way King James Version says it. Can you pray for what is called a door of utterance? What is a door of utterance? Well, it's an opportunity to speak. Pray somewhere along the way that God does something so that when the right time is available, I will have something to say at the right time. This whole thought that there is opportunity all around us. And there's some people who say that God doesn't do miracles today. No, I believe that he does. I believe that there's opportunities. The question we have to ask ourselves is when that opportunity happens, are we willing to step forth? One of my favorite passages of scripture in terms of the Christmas story is not even in the Gospels as part of the Christmas story, but something that Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Many times you'll hear it quoted at Christmas time, but this is what it says. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his sons into our hearts, the God who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. And you may say, what does that have to do with Christmas? The King James Version says, when the fullness of time had come, there was an opportunity within the realm of our history where God somehow intervenes at the perfect time, an opportunity. And in this opportunity, God begins to work and move in our hearts and provides an opportunity for us, mankind, to know him in an intimate way, not just to kind of know, but it's that moment in time, that advantage. And again, you have the opportunity. The question we have to ask ourselves is, first of all, do you take advantage of the opportunity? Or perhaps you're here and God is using you in that opportunity to minister to other people. See, we serve a God of surprises. You know, God just does miracles, and I think that he does them every day, but sometimes we become blind to those miracles. And the way that we become blind to those miracles is the fact that we kind of have a miracle in our mind as to how it's supposed to be done and the circumstances which are supposed to happen, and it's supposed to happen this way. And when it doesn't happen that way, we don't see God doing something on the other side of things. See, God oftentimes will do the miracle, but often he'll do it in a way that is kind of foreign to you, and we miss out. But suffice it to say that God is continually moving and intervening and creating opportunities to draw himself closer to us. Who would have seen the Christmas story happening when it had? You know, they hadn't heard of God or from God for about 470 years. There's a long space of time. They weren't too sure what was going to happen. And somehow they kind of thought when the Messiah does come, he's going to come as this conquering warrior. And when he did come is as a little baby, it was kind of a surprise. The whole Christmas is wrapped around this whole idea of surprises. If you ever stop to consider, in the Christmas story, there are four instances where an angel shows up and intervenes. I don't know about you, but that would be a surprise to me. I haven't woken up any time in my life, and there's just kind of this angel here with the wings kind of sitting with his legs crossed, say, hey, I got a message for you. That would go down as a time that I would remember. I think I would journal on that particular day. Oh, it was not too bad of a day. Things went well. Visited with an angel. No. It's a surprise. It's the miraculous which takes place. One particular occasion has to do with the visitation of the angels to the shepherds. Could you imagine this time? It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. Let me read it for you. It says, there were shepherds lying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those to whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard of it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. Quite a story.
Watch the sheep. They're sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine, let's go.
That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We lost
half Sam! Angels, they just popped out of the sky, and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, "No, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?"
Hey guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loincloth. Let's go!
Look, okay, the angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels, guardian.
Tomato, tomato, who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't feel.
You can't prove that. Fine, there's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears, loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Ah!
Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us, which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know, and I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Hey, did you see how fast I was running over there? I was like a lightning bolt. But no, you guys are never gonna believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak? I can't even. I'll see you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. But before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is. Promise me when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me. Promise me.
He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes. I don't think he's going to care how we Okay, fine. Me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Frank, take a knee.
Okay.
We were playing rock, parchment, shears.
Oh, yeah?
You lost.
Oh.
Wait, 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 wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking about?
Someone?
There we go. It's interesting, isn't it? I have heard that story so many times that I think the significance of it has worn off on me. And I might say that perhaps it has happened to you. If you were there that first time, I think that you'd be kind of amazed. I think that you would probably classify that as a miracle. For some of us, that might be, hey, this was life before that happened, and this is life after that had happened. But here's the thing. They took advantage of the opportunity. There's a lot of people on Christmas who never took care of the opportunity, who never saw the miracle, or perhaps saw the miracle, and never really did anything about it. I could just imagine Mary, young girl, living a pure life, wakes up to find an angel say, hey, you are pregnant. Huh? That seems like it would be a miracle to me, that it was a surprise. Here's the thing about miracles, is that sometimes they come up in a way where you don't even expect them to happen. It's not like you can prepare for them. What you have to do is you need to react to them. I could just imagine how Joseph would react when an angel comes and talks to him. Even though everything seemed like his world had turned around, there still had to be something about the fact that I'm sitting here talking to an angel right now. This is kind of a special moment for me. And everyone at that particular time probably saw something with that star up in the sky. And science has proven that there was a star, that an alignment of the stars at that time that would say that there was a huge, huge, bright star that had come at that particular time. They didn't have TVs at that time. The sky was their TV. I can imagine that that would be part of the whole process. Question is, how do we take advantage of the miracle or just let it go by? Like Herod had heard and was surprised when he heard that there was a baby child that was coming. He didn't react to it very well. How about the innkeeper? Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't even mention an innkeeper. I know that we tell that story time and time again, and it's in Sunday school, Christmas plays and stuff, but the Bible actually doesn't mention an innkeeper. But somehow they found themselves in a stable. There were lots of people that day who were witness to a miracle, but did nothing about it. So I'm just here to say that there are enough times that we see in Scripture where God somehow moves by surprise by the miraculous to realize that God is trying to do something. There's something about God's character that we see in the Christmas story that we see nowhere else, that he loves his people, that he goes to great lengths to reach his people, and that he continually intervenes in our lives, whether we notice it or not. And you may say, well, that's just Jesus, and that was that time, and there was a special event. That really doesn't happen. The one thing you need to realize is that Christmas was a divinely appointed moment by a God who orchestrated an opportunity for you to know him. Here's my question to you this morning, to all of us this morning. What is that Christmas surprise, or what is that surprise that has happened in your life that brings you to this point today? It's true. I could say right now, hey, what was the miracle that happened in your life? And I would say that there would be dozens and dozens of people who would stand up and testify how God had somehow supernaturally moved in their life. One of my favorite stories, particularly a Christmas story, was of a pastor of a large, large church, probably around 5,000 people that went to his church on a Christmas Eve service. And what happened was there was one lady who was there, and she was in conflict because she was adopted and she didn't know what was going on in her life, and she wanted to somehow get in contact with her biological mother. What ends up happening was a stranger sat beside her in the service, and as they began to talk, come to realize that it was her biological mother that was sitting right beside her in a Christmas Eve service. God moves in surprises all the time. God moves in a miraculous way. I remember how I had gotten saved, and I know I had mentioned it a few times in the service that I was a young kid and I got caught shoplifting, and at a time when my mother would not send me to church ever, sent me to church because I was caught shoplifting, and I was picked up on a bus for a number of years until they kicked me off for being bad. And that seemed like it was the end for me until my best friend, about 3 years later, got saved because his family was going through a difficult time, and he starts telling me about Jesus. And I said, I know about that. He says, I used to go to church. He says, well, why don't you come to church? It was the exact same church that I went to as a kid. There was hundreds of churches in that town. A miraculous thing somehow happens. It takes place all the time. Perhaps you haven't seen it, but it has been there. God somehow trying to reach out to you in a way where he can minister to you. I came across a story the other day, and the story was entitled, How a Friendship Changed a Life. I think I have it written down here somewhere, if I can go through my life, my story. It was about an individual. His name was Christopher Kurt. And so he's walking home from school in grade 9, and he sees this other kid just across the road, and he's carrying all of his books home. And he's saying, why is this guy carrying all of his books home? Like, there's a weekend, you can be playing football, you can be going out and having fun, and here he is carrying all the books. All of a sudden, he realizes that there's another bunch of kids, and they kind of see him. They knock him over. The books go flying. His glasses go flying about 10 feet. He's sitting there lying in the mud. Something says to him, I need to do something here. So he jogs over to him, picks up his glasses, and says, I'm sorry about all this. He says, let me help you with your books. Where do you live? Well, he finds out that this boy, whose name is Ryan, lives 4 or 5 doors from his house. But he didn't know him, because all of a sudden he was going to private school, and all of a sudden he's going to this public school, and they begin to talk and share some kind of common interest. And he drops off the book at his home, and before he leaves, he says, listen, a bunch of guys are getting together to play some football. You want to come? Sure. So what happens is they get together, and afterwards they go out afterwards. They spend the whole weekend kind of forging this friendship that goes into their school years. And so what happens is this individual who was with him, whose name was Kyle, all of a sudden gets in with the crowd, makes a lot of friends, becomes popular himself. And after 4 years in high school, he is chosen to be the valedictorian. And so at that last day of school, as they're all gathered for this commencement, he gets up there and he says this. He says, graduation is time to thank those who have helped you make it through those tough years, your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell you all of you being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can possibly give. And he says, I'm about to tell you a story. He said, a number of years ago, I was walking home from school with all of my books. I'd come to the end of my line, and I was going to commit suicide. I was bringing all my books home because I wanted to clear out my locker, because I didn't want my mom to have to come and clean out the locker. And so as I was making plans to do this, all of a sudden this situation had come up and this friend had come, and I just want to say that you saved my life that day. And you think to yourself, what a coincidence. Well, is it really a coincidence? You see, I've kind of heard that story time and time again. With individuals who love Jesus, somewhere along the way, God somehow trying to reach out, somehow trying to make a difference in the life of situation which is going on. I'm just here to say that this happens enough to realize that God is wanting to do something. That all these things somehow come to play somehow. That God does miracles. But let me just say this. When God does miracles, when God surprises us with these times, I've always come to realize that he does it for a purpose. God just doesn't do miracles. He doesn't just intervene for nothing. He just didn't appear as a baby for no reason. There was a purpose to it, that God was somehow trying to reach out or use you to reach out to someone else. And maybe the fact is that you're here today, and maybe you're the miracle, or today is the miracle, and God is somehow pursuing you, and you sit here right now trying to figure out what to do, and you weren't too sure what you were thinking when you came into church today, but somehow God is speaking to you this morning. And you have to ask yourself the question, what am I going to do about it? It's an important question to ask. There's one thing you're going to look at Christmas. It's the fact that God will surprise you. The fact that there is an opportunity for you. Let me ask you a question. Are you a re-gifter? I would say, hey, put up your hand if you're a re-gifter, but many people would not do it. to say that they were. But statistics tell us that 2 out of 3 people, so as we, okay, we can section this whole thing off. 2 out of 3 people have either regifted or have considered strongly regifting. For those of you who don't know what regifting is that you get a gift for Christmas. You say, oh, what a wonderful gift. And in your head, you're saying, I don't want this gift. This is the worst gift in the world, or I don't need this. I need this like a hole in the head or whatever. And so you come with an idea that says, well, I don't like it, but perhaps there was someone else that would like this gift. And so you wrap it up in different wrapping paper. Hopefully you wrap it up in different wrapping paper. And next Christmas, if you're lucky, you give it to the person who didn't give it to you the year before. Regifting. Have you ever stopped to think that God is the greatest regifter of all time? That every year at Christmas, there is a gift which is awaiting for us. At a divine moment, the greatest miracle that has taken place is that God has come. The theological term is called the incarnation. God coming in flesh, because we are absolutely helpless, without hope, without him. See, I said this last week. A lot of us tend to think that heaven is the default. Heaven's not the default. The Bible basically says that we're all sinners. We're all doomed to a lost eternity unless something were to come and pay the price for our sins. That's why Jesus came on the cross. That's why it's important for us to come to know him, to give him our life. And so every year at Christmas, whether you realize it or not, I kind of style it one way or another. There's a time where every December I say this: you have an opportunity. You have a time where people are around you that are open to the gospel where they aren't at any other time in life. Or perhaps you're going home for Christmas, or someone from home is coming, or from where you used to live is coming to visit you for Christmas. And for some reason, something is taking place and you have an opportunity. A door of utterance is what Paul called it. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, am I going to take advantage of that or not? My prayer for you today is this: that we just spend perhaps 1 minute in the service and say this: God, make me ready. I don't know what's going to happen. There might be some huge miracle that takes place. There might be some significant thing that allows me to be able to speak. And God, I want to know that if that time comes, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. So God, move. We're going to take communion at this time. God, I just pray that as we take it to recognize what you have done for our life, God, I pray, Father, that you do something special. Holy Spirit, I pray your anointing will just go out among us, Father. Maybe think of one individual, or perhaps think of one instance where, Father, we just want to be able to have an opportunity to let your light shine on our life. Do that, Father, I pray, as we share together in communion. Be lifted up, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.